pastor and his wife, the youth, for a time like this, the opportunity to speak here this morning, to stand before you. I am honored, I am excited, and very nervous, but Jesus is the focus. Amen. Amen. Let me get myself in order here. Amen. Worship is awesome, isn't it? Jesus is awesome. He is amazing. Come on, let's try that again. Just put your hands together. For the King of Kings and the Lord who reigns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we're just going to jump right into this morning. I'll try not to waste your time. So amongst many things that the Lord had laid on my heart, I was trying to find one word or phrase to just make everything gel, you know, as you prepare the word. You want it to come together. And I couldn't figure it out. I was getting frustrated at a point. I came up with things like, well, the Lord laid things like clear it out, get in the zone, things like make some room, make room, but it was one more. It was discerning distraction. I was like, that one is good. We might speak on that. But amongst all of that, I'd like to call this a customize it your way message. Like you go to Build-A-Bear and you go to Subway and you kind of, you choose. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, focus. Say, focus. Focus. Yes, ma'am, focus. That's for me. For me, it's focus. For some of us, we are at a point in our lives where we might have been focused at some point, and now we have to just simply refocus. So turn to your other neighbor that you didn't turn to before and say, refocus. Refocus. Yes. If you can, please join me in standing to read the word this morning. If you can, please join me. We're going to be reading from Matthew 14, 23 through 33. And if you can get that on the screen, that'd be amazing. Refocus. Get back on track. I'll start from 23. After dismissing the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already over a mile from land, battered by the wave because the wind was against them. Around 3 in the morning, he came towards them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them. He spoke to them and said, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter said, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he was But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and he said to him, you of little faith, why would you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for light. We thank you for the light, the truth, and the life that it brings. And through your word, God, we are transformed, we are renewed, and we are refreshed. Father, glorify yourself this morning. Let your word dwell in us richly, that as we hear your word, God, we pray that you will come and do what only you can do in our hearts. Now I rebuke every spirit of fear and anxiety. Father, I break down the walls of worry and wrong focus this morning. God, we turn our hearts to you as the center of our focus, the center of our being. I surrender myself under your authority, God. Teach us, anoint us, change us. Father, lead us together and prepare our hearts as we have prayed this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We may have our seats. Amen. Just turn to a couple other neighbors of yours that you've not spoken to and just tell them how good they look this morning and how thankful you are to be here and to see them. Amen. Can we have the video, please? Can we have the video, media team? I have a short clip to show you this morning. So let's turn our attention to this. Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes our mind wanders, and when we snap back to reality, we have no idea what we missed or how long we were gone. Daydreaming isn't the only thing that causes this inattention blindness. When we talk on the phone while driving, there are periods when we go blind to our environment without realizing it. So billboards, cars, kids playing, even stop signs and red lights can pass us by unnoticed. Certain things may seem harmless, but some activities just aren't safe to combine. Our brain is not wired to pay attention to more than one complex task at a time. What we're actually doing when we think we're multitasking is quickly shifting our focus from one activity to another. So while our mind is engaged in applying makeup, arguing with backseat drivers, fumbling for a water bottle, or a conversation, it's blind to the road. In fact, drivers are 4 times more likely to crash while talking on the phone, and 23 times more likely while texting. Driving can feel uneventful, but it really takes our full attention to keep the car on the road. We're surrounded by distractions that can hijack our focus. Whether we let them is up to us.
Thank you. This short clip, out of it, two things stood out to me, and I'll speak shortly on those. Just now he said, driving can feel very uneventful, but it really takes our full attention to keep the car on the road. We are surrounded by distractions that can hijack our focus. Whether we let them is up to us. In 2014, December 21st, I was involved in a car wreck. The accident totaled my car. I flipped and spun 360 about twice, and car was totaled. The other car involved in the accident was completely flipped over. It was a Sienna Toyota-looking van, but it flipped over, totaled. I was in the car with my sister coming home from church. We were having a revival, and I was on the phone talking to someone on the phone. Someone from church, talking to them about what just happened at church and how amazing service was. And because this is a route I always take all the time, like subconsciously, the map is in my head. I know where the stop signs are. I know what the speed limits are. So I just drive. So I can do whatever I want on my phone. Like, it's what we the youth do. I know some people are looking at me like, you do that? I do. That's bad. But I was involved in that car wreck, and because I was distracted, I didn't see the oncoming vehicle at the stop sign. It was almost 12 a.m., and I came out of this car with my sister with no scratch, no broken bones. Car was completely total. I mean, the front was just squashed into. It was just... It was bad. The lady in the other vehicle came out untouched, no scratch, no broken bones, nothing. With a car that flipped over, it had to be God. But I share this to turn our focus to distraction. Distraction can be deadly. And it can cost us time, money, health. It can cost us a lot. Distraction is deadly. This video also pointed out a research that's been going on about the brain and multitasking. And he said our brain is not wired to pay attention or give attention to more than one complex task at a time. So, when we say we're multitasking, what are we really doing? What we're really doing is we're shifting our focus to different tasks at different times, just in fast-paced, just super fast. We're just switching very fast. So I share that to say that even Jesus lived a focused life. He was focus-driven as well. I know the scripture might not specifically use the word focus, but we see throughout the scripture words that imply focus, and we see the practice of focus throughout the word. So I believe God is calling the church, calling our attention to Him, to make Him the center of our focus. We're living in a very fast-paced age, a very technology-driven, information-drowned society or world. In a world that is just crowded with so much information, it's very easy to drown out what God is saying to us or what His instructions are. I believe God is calling our attention, and it's gonna take us cutting off distraction to really hear what He is saying. And I think the church, this is just by the wayside, I think we really have it down when it comes to saying the word, reading the word, and hearing the word, and understanding the word. We got that down. We can hear the preaching all day long. We can pray all day long. We got these practices down. The thing is, are we doing it? The doing and the living of it is where we shy away from. I don't know if that's the word for it, but we begin to make excuses for the things that God is calling us to be obedient in, and begin to allow distractions to creep in. I'm talking about this because I struggle with it too. When you look at the history of my life, but if I were to share, let's say, my career path, if I were to share it, God, it'll be all over the place. It's a good thing to have a passion for many things and to love to do many things and to know how to do many things. But I believe God gives us that, but he has a particular focus for us, a particular mission or assignment for us at a given time. And it takes focus to get it done. I've done from, you know, jumping from music to this, to fashion to that, to being working in the hospital, being a CNA. It's just like, what is God drawing you to, and what is it that he's calling you to? What is the assignment, and what is the focus for your life? Yeah? We see the first downfall. Should I call it downfall, or what should I call it? We see the very first distraction happen, I guess, in Genesis 1. We find an example of what distraction can do here. Genesis 3:1-6. This is where Eve and Adam, they were given a plethora of just beauty, and yet the serpent managed to break her focus, and she fell from listening or being obedient to what God has said, had instructed, and she turned her focus to the tree, the beauty of the tree. How would that fruit taste if I just tasted it? He said, don't touch it. I touched it. I didn't die. So let me see what happens if I just take a bite. You know, the longer we sit with distraction, the more damage it causes. The longer we sit in worry and despair and whatever it is that is taking us off the rail, off the track where God has placed us, the longer we sit there, it's okay to fall. It's okay to, you know, get off the course. But coming back is what really matters. Don't sit there long. Don't stay worrying long. It's human nature to worry. It's human nature to be distracted. We will fall. The righteous falls, whatever how many times, but it's getting up that really matters. So getting back our focus is what we're talking about this morning. Amen. Amen. Everyone say, simply focus. Amen. I would like for us to look at Mark 3. 3:14. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. I'm going to talk about the scripture and how it relates to focus. Jesus had called his disciples, and he had appointed them apostles, but the first thing he calls them to do is to be with him. And then he might send them out to preach. The first thing was to be with him. How do we focus? First, we learn to be with him. Just be with him. He doesn't require anything else of us. If he has called and chosen us, he just wants us to relate with him. He just wants us to be in his presence. Just be. And say, go fetch disciples yet. He didn't say go out and preach yet. He didn't say go out and begin to perform miracles yet. The first thing was to be with me. Be here. We tend to forget very easily again because of the culture. It's only gonna get worse when it comes to, you know, social media and, you know, all these platforms and technology. It's only gonna get worse. But we have to find our shelter. We have to find our shelter in Christ and protect and guard our focus. Guard your focus. That is another way to refocus. Guard your focus. Once you gain it, you guard it. Guard it with all your heart. Amen. Amen. So the first thing God, Christ, has called us to do is to be with him. And then in Colossians 3:1-4, he tells us to set our minds on things above, not earthly things. He tells us to set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So be with me. Set your mind, set your heart on the things above, where Christ is seated. God is calling us to himself. He's calling us to be with him and set our hearts and our minds on him. And I looked at the word focus, and I looked at synonyms and antonyms, and some antonyms were the words like blur and dim and distract and disorganize and etc. But some of the antonyms were words like focal point, center, heart, core, nucleus, for my biology majors and science majors. I found it interesting that one of the words or the synonyms for focus was heart. I found that very interesting. The very essence of our being. Everything we do comes from our heart. And if we cannot guard our hearts and our mind with what does the scripture say? With all diligence, we allow everything to creep in. It's going to be very hard to, it's going to be very easy to worry and be anxious. And the word says, be anxious for nothing. What does that tell us about us? Does it say that we trust God fully, completely? When I go back to Genesis again, when God tells us, don't do something, don't do something, there's a reason behind it. And then he tells us not to worry. There's a reason behind not worrying. Because I got it. Don't worry. Because then when we start to worry, we lose focus. And then we begin to... Sorry, it seems like I'm a little jumpy, but when we begin to worry, we begin to do things like be intimidated and insecure and afraid. And this takes me back to Matthew 14:30, where Peter was bold enough to say, call me. If it's you, let's know if this is real. Call me to walk on the water like you. He was bold enough to get, he was bold enough to step out of the boat and step on the waters. Why? Because he was focused on who? On Jesus' ability, on the strength of Jesus. He was getting his energy off of that of Jesus because he was focused. So he was strong and bold enough to take the step and just walk on water. But Matthew 14:30 then says he saw the wind. And he saw, I believe the Holman version said, he saw the strength of the wind and he became afraid. His focus shifted and he began to sink. He began to sink. Because his focus shifted from the strength of Jesus to the strength of the wind. Our focus shifts from Jesus being Jehovah, our provider, to, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay this bill? What am I going to eat tomorrow? What are my kids gonna, I mean, school is starting. Where am I gonna get the money for this school fees? And but we know in our hearts that it's not like we don't know the word that Jesus is Jehovah, our provider. But our focus shifts and then we focus on the strength of, oh, goodness, if I don't pay this, they're going to kick me out. Oh, gosh, it's going to suck if I don't have light in the house this week. Just these little things of life that tends to weigh us down, that will weigh us down. It's in acknowledging that there are these cares of life, that life has all these things that it's going to throw at us, but keeping our focus. When Peter took the step, he already knew that the sea was troubled. He knew. He saw the waves and the wind, but his focus was on Jesus. He had the boldness to step in. As soon as his focus shifted, he began to sink. Say focus. Say focus. Now put your name there and say, Daisy, focus. We are that's okay. There's a wave of mental health awareness, and you know, there's this awareness of mental health, like it's a thing that has been, you know, they're making it more aware that, you know, mental health is a problem. It's a real thing. It needs to be addressed. And I think the body of Christ if we say we know him, do I just need to stop there? Don't say anymore. If you say you know him, as your healer, you say you know him. As your restorer, you say you know him. The one who died, he was dead, he was beaten. He died. He was beaten to the point of no recognition. To the point of no recognition. And died. And then the power of resurrection. With the power of resurrection, Jesus rose. And we believe in Jesus and believe in the power of resurrection. Then why is this an issue? Now, I'm not knocking mental health. I'm not saying it's not something that needs, you know, to be treated just like, you know, you treat a headache. You need to get help. Seek help. But also remember who the helper is. Remember who the healer is. Turn your focus to who your Father is. Magnify the name of the Lord. It said, be anxious. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious about. Be not anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Don't be anxious about some things. Don't be anxious about partially, you know, maybe you can be, you know, anxious about what people have to think or say, or be anxious for some things. Is that what the scripture's saying? It's saying be anxious about some things, but in some things by prayer and supplication with maybe thanksgiving, a sprinkle of it here and there, and it says be anxious for nothing. Nothing. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to not be anxious. But do we think that Jesus doesn't know that it's hard to not be anxious? Some of the things that happen when our focus is broken is we fall victim of our circumstances. And I already talked about this, how Peter began to sink because he began to shift his focus from the strength of the master to the strength of the wind. We begin to fall victim of our surrounding and the things that are going on around us. We begin to fall victim of our circumstance. That's number one. I'm just giving just a few things that happens when our focus is broken. God's word is of great importance. Very great importance. God's word is the greatest tool that he has ever given. And if we can remind our situations of the promise of God to never leave nor forsake us, you know, right from the beginning of time in Genesis, from the downfall, God always reached out for us. God always reached out for us from the beginning. From the beginning. I think we can try to read it quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Even when we mess up, he still seeks us out. I think it's in verses 9. Genesis 3:9. So the Lord God called out for the man and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you? Where is your focus? Where are you right now?" God has always reached out for us. And he never stopped. Even we see it with Jesus. He continues to chase after us. I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Chronicles where King Amaziah, I believe, was, I don't have it written down, but he was so loved by God, but didn't realize it. He continued to be disobedient to God and continued to be distracted by, you know, things like money. He was distracted by because he had to get his soldiers ready. And things like the Lord telling him not to go into battle, and he completely ignored what the Lord was saying and still went to the battle. And even yet, the Lord came to him. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He continues to seek us out. But it's up to us to reach back out to him and take hold of what he's telling us and take hold of his unchanging hand and take hold of his promises. In Isaiah chapter 41 verses 10, if we can have that up really quickly, I'm rounding up here. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. How do you guard your focus? Guard your focus by reminding your situation and circumstances of who God is. You guard it by strengthening and exercising your focus. You guard it by keeping God first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, not some of these things, not your bill will be paid this month, and next month you might have to struggle a little bit to pay bill. That's not his promise. He said, all these things will be added. No exception. We must turn our focus to Christ and not on the storms of life. How do we guard our focus? We develop our prayer life. We pray without ceasing. I believe it's in Matthew. The disciples asked to, teach us to pray. Being consistent with prayer is another way to guard your focus. Developing your prayer life, keeping God first, and exercising, speaking the promises of God. It'll strengthen your focus. And so, God, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that your word is true. And that your word never returns back to you void. We want to thank you for being the focus of our life, for making us your focus. Thank you for never letting us go, never letting us down. Thank you for always being faithful. God, we trust you with our anxieties. We trust you with whatever concerns that we have. We trust you. Even with the lack of focus, we trust you. And we turn our focus to you, Father. We pray that you will have mercy on us for falling short. And continue to call us back to you, God. Continue to draw our hearts back to you, back to your love. May we never lose the wonder of you. May we never cease to be amazed by you. Jesus, we surrender to you. We surrender our hearts and our minds. That our minds will never be the target of the enemy and he succeeds. Because our mind is shielded by you. It's covered by your blood. Father, help us and teach us, Father. Continue to be our coach through this work, this walk, and through the works of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Daisy. We thank you for obedience. Thank you for the grace you've given her to wait on you. Truly, she had heard your voice. She has obeyed. Father, may you remember her and bless her for her obedience. Now, Father, I ask for you have honored us with hearing your word. pray that you give us the grace to obey. Father, I ask for grace. In Jesus' name. The reason I thank God for bringing the generations together. Not that we hand the baton to them, but that we are standing on the same platform and hearing the word of the Lord. The Bible says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, the word of God is perfected. I don't know how you hear the voice of the Lord, but if I've ever heard God speak in this house, He spoke to us this morning. If you wonder if Daisy heard from the Lord, she heard from the Lord more than 100%. Let me tell you why. For quite some time now, I have been weeping over this message she shared. God has been dealing with me for a long time, not just about me, but about the enemy's strategy for these last days in the area of distraction. Last week, I was waiting and I was praying. It says, God, give me the words. How will I share this? When will I share this? But there's no way. I would have even conveyed or even heard clearly more from the Lord than we've heard this morning. Another way the Lord was getting my attention about this, a cousin of mine sent a message to our family line. I don't look at those things, but when I see that my cousin sent something, I know he's wise. And it was about a tractor trailer that was driving slowly, and all of a sudden on the highway, the tractor trailer ran over almost 5 vehicles at the same time. Just went behind one and ran them through. And the testimony in the news was, he was texting. And the lady on the news, the mother of the children that died, said, this tractor driver was caught because he murdered my children. But even though you're not caught, is it possible we are all murderers when we are texting while we're driving? And it's like God was gripping my heart. I made a decision not to text when I'm driving. But then I said, what if there's an emergency? So I said, okay, only on emergency basis. If I see something as emergency, I'll just... But because I said emergency basis, I noticed that occasionally I will text, or I'll look up something on my text. I was at a prayer meeting, a national prayer meeting, and there's this person that is so anointed, so gifted. They called for worship. Everybody was worshiping the Lord. I was also worshiping the Lord, and somebody called me to get my attention to attend to something. So I turned around to attend to something, and as I turned around, this guest speaker, this great minister, very anointed, was flipping through his phone while the worship was going on. I made a decision, because I was getting so grieved every time I see people using their phone in the church. And I said, I think I'm getting overboard. Maybe I'm becoming judgmental. And this is the reason why. I use the Bible on my phone a lot. My phone is my office. My emails, everything is on my phone. So I felt, you're being judgmental. But when I came to church, so I said, this is what I'm going to focus on. I will focus on the fact that anytime I'm in church, anybody using their phone in church is because they're reading their Bible or they're following the scriptures. That's the decision I made. So when I went to this conference, so every time I see people use their phone, I just say they are reading their Bible. That's how I blocked out trying to be distracted by what the Lord said. And I will tell you very soon what it is. But when I was at this conference and we were praying, we're worshiping the Lord, we're praying. This is a minister that just preached a very convicting, powerful message. The next thing, I wouldn't have seen it unless somebody called me. And I looked, he was totally focused. So it had nothing to do with the service, had nothing to do. It was totally something irrelevant. And I looked at it. I said, this is what this person is doing right here. And he just finished preaching to these people. And then also, I had a very good friend of mine. This used to bother me for a long time. Again, I said, he's a pastor, it's for emergency purpose. Every time we're in prayer or we are worshiping, for some reason, his phone rings or his beep or whatever, he'll pull it up, he'll look at it, and the next thing, he will leave the prayer meeting or leave the worship service, and he will go behind, back there, finish whatever he's doing and come back. And he's a very big leader in the community. I said, God, you know. So I found myself giving myself excuse for looking at my text or reply some things when I'm driving. You all know what ADD means, attention deficit disorder. What the enemy did at the garden, like the message we heard this morning, it was the technology and the ability of Satan to use what he had at that time. Every generation, the devil has his tool to use. This is the knowledge abounding generation. This is a technology generation. Is technology demonic? Is technology bad? No. It is a tool God wants us to use for His glory. But it's become the enemy's worst tool for the greatest distraction in human history. I know a friend, and for a reason, I know a friend. A minister. I've seen him in church. I've been with him in church and stuff. I've never seen him, if he's in church anywhere, for the period I was with him, he never leaves. It's like this. Constantly. Non-stop. Even in meetings. constantly. You know, when a message comes from the pulpit like this, it is very easy for us to ignore it, because as a pastor, as a leader. And I think that's why God used the youth. He used a child. He used somebody that experienced. They would have died in a wreck. I think God was speaking something to us. Now, if that distraction through this can cause damage in the physical, do you know what kind of damage this is causing for us spiritually? The level of discretion. If you think attention deficit disorder is addictive, the greatest addiction today is this. Heavily addicted. I said, I have my email, I have this, I have God. He said, what is an excuse? How can I avoid, how can I discipline myself to make sure I only do what I need this to be used for your glory? That's the reason why many older generations that did not understand the power of technology positively, they told their people, television is of the devil. This is of the devil. And so the church never used technology, because they saw the danger of the distraction. They saw the perversion that could come through it. So some of them literally told their people, don't do this, don't use this, don't use that. But then that's an extreme. I think the word focus, if we want to really receive that word today, and if we want to really use technology well, let's use it with a focused mind. Only for those things that draws us closer to God, and that's used specifically to magnify and to use in a balanced way for the things of the kingdom, or for the things that your job, your whatever. Again, this is the balance of it. But my prayer this morning is that the Spirit of the Lord tell you the other side of it. I'm guilty using it too. So this morning, one thing I found about the Word of God, God doesn't judge your sin. He gives you opportunity to repent. And every time the Word of God was coming through the vessel God used this morning, scriptures were coming to my mind. And as the scriptures come, she says, let's open to the scripture. She was totally led by the Spirit. When God called Adam, and this is where I am, when God called Adam and Eve, He didn't judge them immediately. He didn't tell them the consequences, what will happen. He gave them an opportunity to make a decision. Repentance is nothing but a decision. But when they gave an excuse or they justified it, and that's when the repercussions of the deception took full effect. I am guilty of texting while I drive sometimes. But I don't want to have one iota of excuse. I've made some decisions today. Not just in that area, but I saw things spiritually relating to distraction. Focused in your calling, in your ministry, in your gifting, in your track. Pray, whatever God has anointed you, run into the full effect of that calling. So this morning, no, technology is good. But if you heard the voice of the Lord this morning, you can see how the enemy is taking over the church in the name of technology. So I pray you find a balance, but I believe we all have a decision to make. So this is how it works. When you make a decision in your heart, it's wonderful. But when you connect the decision to an altar, that altar speaks against you. That altar holds you accountable before God and the angels of God. So your decision or your repentance brings fruit. Because you can excuse yourself, like I did, on an emergency basis. I want you to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to deliver every one of us from the greatest satanic strategy. Somebody said that, and this is the word, what you see with the addiction today of technology is by design. And it's not human design, demonic design. The greatest distraction known to human history. I can't thank God enough for speaking to us. I think this is one of the greatest messages we need at this moment. So, as they lead us, I want us to be obedient. Let's make this altar a place of decision. Maybe you don't have this problem, but I want to go to this altar today. As many as we come, let God help us find a balance. We don't want to murder somebody, kill another man's child before we wake up more physical and spiritual. And again, in church, when God is speaking, when you're worshiping, if you heard the voice of the Lord, I'd like you to join me on this altar. Amen.